hopefully everybody has had an opportunity to own a puppy before. To own a dog. Some people aren't dog people. People who aren't dog people aren't real people. But dogs are some of the loyalest creatures that there are. Dogs are better than a lot of people that I know, and I'm sure you've experienced that as well. But I was thinking as we were singing, how we discipline or how we punish either our children or our pets, in particular, our dogs. And last night, our dog had an unfortunate incident in my son's bedroom last night. And but when a cute, loving, innocent little puppy gets in trouble, do you kick it? You know, do you hit it? Do you scream? Or does it look at you with those big, giant, brown, sad eyes and just invite you to love it in return as much as it loves you? And I was thinking about, oftentimes we are much easier on pets than we are on people. Sometimes we're much easier on puppies as we are on persons, people, humans. And we show them, you know, such great comfort. We try to encourage them when they get in trouble. We'll give them hugs and love on them. And maybe this is just me, and I just really love dogs. But I hope it's you too. But think about that. Then how do you discipline your children if you've had children before? Like, when they do something where they need to be disciplined, do we allow our anger to be lashed out upon them, or do we actually want their good? Are we disciplining them because we want what's best for them? Do we discipline our pets because we want what's best for them and in return for us too? Or are we just trying to be cruel and mean-spirited? And I was thinking on the scripture where it says that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And so while God is a just God, while God does judge sin, while God does indeed have wrath upon evil and upon sin, he is this God who is rich in mercy, abounding in love, and shows us this great grace. And when God does discipline us, when God does reprove us, it's not because he is wrathful towards us as people. It's because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. And if God did not punish sin, God would not be good. In order for God to be just, in order for God to be righteous, he has to judge. But in that, in order for God to be loving, he offers this great mercy that we can't even fathom in the face of our own sin. And with that mercy gives us grace. And I've said this a couple times the last few weeks, but mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. And grace is when we get what we don't deserve. So God is this God of grace and this God of mercy. And maybe you feel like you are at a place today of being, you know, downtrodden. You feel like you're in this place today of being this sad puppy who's committed an unfortunate offense in the room of your human big brother. And you're feeling, you know, down and low, and, you know, will people ever love me again? Will people ever receive me again? Will people ever forgive me again? Will I ever experience mercy? Will I ever experience grace again? And I just want to deliver what I believe this morning is a word from God is, yes, his grace is more than sufficient for you. His mercy is better than you could imagine. His love is greater than you could ever fathom. And there's this passage of scripture, it's 1 Peter 5:10. And during an incredibly dry, dark season of my life, this verse kept me alive. This verse kept me going. And in 1 Peter 5:10, the Apostle Peter, he writes this, he's writing it to the church, it's to us, guys. He says, "And after you have suffered for a little while," how many of you would say, I have suffered for what doesn't seem like a little while? It seems like a while. It seems like a long while. It seems like forever that I'm always suffering. Peter says, "And after you have suffered for a little while," and just because we're all people who are familiar with suffering, how many of you would acknowledge today, even by a show of hands, I've suffered for a little while? After you've suffered for a little while. Peter then says this, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory through Christ. So the God of grace, he calls us into his eternal glory, not because we deserve to be there, but because he wants us there. Not because we have earned our way there, but because he earned our way there. The God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory through Christ. Christ purchased it for you, his life, his death, his resurrection, to come into this eternal glory. He says, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory through Christ, will himself confirm you, restore you, strengthen and establish you. You see, God does use others to bring comfort and peace and love, but I want you to hold on to that part of that passage from the Word of God this morning that says, will himself confirm you. What does confirm mean? Confirm means you're mine. Confirm means I still got you. Confirm means I still love you. Confirm means my grace is sufficient for you. Confirm means my mercy is more than you can imagine. Will himself confirm you? Will himself restore you? How many need to be restored today? The God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory through Christ, will himself restore you. Restore you to what? To relationship with God. Restore you to right standing with God. Restore you to a place in God's kingdom. Restore you, even in an earthly sense, I think God wants to restore us in many ways. Restored to relationship. Restored to maybe even finances. Restored to, sometimes, by God's grace and mercy, health. Will himself confirm, restore, strengthen you. How many of you need strength today? He will himself strengthen you. Scripture says we're not to lean on our own understanding. Scripture says we are to trust the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight our path. And so God can strengthen us. Not my own understanding, not my own efforts, my own works, my own self-help, my own encouragement. Even all the great prayers and Bible reading in the world, that's amazing and it's wonderful, but God himself is the one who can strengthen you. And not only will he strengthen you, he'll establish you. He'll set your feet on a solid foundation, a solid rock that is Jesus himself. He's going to establish. So God himself. Some of us, and I would actually suggest all of us, but some of you are bold enough to admit that you need God himself to confirm, to restore, to strengthen, and to establish. Ezekiel 37, I felt led to read this today. Ezekiel, a prophet, speaking about this dead nation of Israel, this apathetic nation who had not lived up to the standards that God had set for them, and that represents us today. Well, many of you have heard this, but I really feel we need to read this whole passage first. Verse 1, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And the valley that Ezekiel was set down on, he says, it was full of bones. You heard this story before? It's full of bones. This valley was full of dead things. This valley was full of dead hopes, dead dreams, dead people, dead vision, dead callings, dead marriages. It was full of bones. And it says, and he led me around among the bones, and behold, there were many bones on the surface of the valley, and behold, the bones were very dry. Now, if I had to choose to walk in a valley of bones, I would hope that they were dry and not still moist. Like, dry, it seems better, but it's not. It means, you might ask, how dead are these bones? Well, they're real dead. They're so dead, they're dry. All the life looks to be out of them. And the Spirit said to me, this is Ezekiel, says to me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, if you see a pile of bones out in the middle of a valley and someone were to ask you, can these bones live? You would be like, no, they already did live. They're dead. They're bones. They're dry. They're not even life itself. They're just like a frame of the inner workings of what used to be life. These are dry, bleached, white, dead bones. So Ezekiel, this is how he answers God. And I think this is how we should answer God if God asks us a question. He said, should these bones live? And Ezekiel said, basically he says, I don't know. But what he says is, oh God, you know. Ezekiel, can these bones live? You know, I don't, but God, you're God. If these bones can live, then so be it. Then God said to me, said Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Bones don't have ears. I'm not going to talk to bones. But you see, God didn't need to use Ezekiel to do this. God just asked Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, sometimes I think you got to play dumb with God. He just says, you know, I don't. God says, okay, well, because I know, this is what I would like you to do. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. You want me to give CPR to the bones? They're going to have breath? Yeah, you prophesy. You speak the word of God that breath may enter the bones. Oh, that reminds me, Genesis chapter 2 and 3, where God forms man out of the dust of the earth, drier than bones, before there ever were bones, formed man out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Some translations say soul, being. Prophesy, I'll cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. You might say, what is sinews? Just as you picture it, just ew, sinews. It's like tendons to envelop these bones. I will cause flesh to come upon you, bones. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and bones came together. There's this worship song that sometimes, I don't think we've sang it at our church, but the song is like, this is the sound of dry bones rattling. We're like, oh, that sounds so fascinating and beautiful, but that's a terrifying sound. It's not like this happy worship song. To me, it's like Michael Jackson's Thriller. And you hear the bones knocking against each other, like, whoa, this is a little scary. And I heard these bones rattling. Skin started to cover them. And it says, they rattled and the bones came together, bone to its bone, all the right fit. And I looked and I behold, there were sinews on them. I spoke it, and here they were. Flesh had come upon them. Skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Sometimes we experience great moves of God in our life that bring us great healing, but we don't ever step into the fullness of the healing that God has for our hearts. You're put back together. You're covered with muscle and sinews and tendons and skin, but you're still dead. You might look good on the outside. You might have some of your act together, but you're not actually healed. You're not actually alive. So God said to me, this is Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. You prophesy to the bones, now prophesy to the breath. What's the breath it's the Spirit of God. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. What if I told you that the church, small c, was dead? What if I told you that the church was dead? It's not dead. The church is the body of Christ, but for a lot of intents and purposes, she looks like it. She looks dead. Bones, maybe a little bit put together, but maybe not really walking in the Spirit of God and standing and moving as an exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great army. It's not like, oh, this one, you know, undead person stood up. It was an exceedingly great army that now had the breath of God within them. And it reminds me of Jesus telling Peter that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. The church doesn't look like something right now that the gates of hell couldn't prevail against. Did you hear that? The church doesn't look like something right now that the gates of hell couldn't prevail against. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. We could get into a great theological discussion on Israel and the church. I don't want to do that today, but let's, for all intents and purposes, say these bones represent the church. Behold, they say, Israel says, the church says, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will open your graves and raise you from my graves, O my people. Not only would I say that the church appears dead and doesn't look like an army that the gates of hell couldn't prevail against, I would say here that many within the church, many churches themselves are inside of coffins right now thinking we can't get up. We've dissolved, we've shut down, we've closed down, we've left the ministry, we've left the state because things don't look good here, so we're going to go to a better place. We can't leave this state to die. We can't leave this country to die without Christ. Prophesy. I'll open the graves. I'll raise you from the graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel. God will bring us into the place he has for us, and you shall know that I am the Lord. How will we know? God says, you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. As a side note, I believe that this is talking about a situation in Israel 2,700 years ago. But I also believe this is a future event. How will we know that God is God? He'll raise the dead. There is a resurrection coming. There is a day coming where Jesus Christ himself will return with a shout and a sound of a trumpet. And the dead in Christ will raise. That's what Scripture says. He says, I'll bring you, you'll know that I'm God when I open your graves, when I raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. That's also a direct prophecy of something that happened 700 years after this, where the Spirit of God fell on the church and filled them, and by proxy, when we are born again, fills us with his same spirit. I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. I'll do it, declares the Lord. We're supposed to finish a relationship series today. I don't know if we will. Because your singleness, your dating, your engagements, your marriages, your separations, your divorces, your widowhoods, your its complicated relationships mean nothing. And that's a tricky thing to say, but they mean nothing in that you will not experience what they could be without a right relationship with God. Without a right relationship with God. Some of you are hoping as a single person that you will find great love and romance, not recognizing that you're just bones on the ground. Some of you are desiring to experience the greatest dating relationship you've ever experienced. You don't understand why you keep experiencing the same problems with different girlfriends and different boyfriends, because you don't realize that you're just bones on the ground. You're dead in your sin. You're dead without Christ, or at least you're not fully restored and healed. Some of you are hoping for this wonderful engagement, fiancé relationship, but your relationship with God maybe doesn't even exist, or it's not where it's supposed to be, and you're dead. So, Pastor, I'm married, but my marriage feels dead. That's because it looks like a pile of bones. It's because you might be a pile of bones. And the same goes for you're separate. I'm separated. When will my marriage get back together? Is your walk with Christ right now? Work on that first. That's actually what we're supposed to talk about today. What do you do when you're separated? Man, you focus on Jesus real hard. You focus on Jesus real hard. You seek counsel and help and accountability and prayer from pastors and elders and trusted spiritual mentors and people that are godly, that are walking alongside of you, and you pray your guts out for your marriage. But more than your marriage being restored, it's your relationship with Jesus that matters. This message was supposed to be about divorce. Israel found itself divorced from God. They walked away from God countless times. But God confirmed, restored, strengthened, and established them, and always invited and welcomed them back. And he does that to us through Christ. So what do you do if you're divorced? Man, you get your walk with Jesus right. You get your walk with Jesus right. Well, what if I want to get remarried one day? Well, the Bible says, as we've said many times, specifically about this, it'd be a lot easier if you didn't. Life would be easier for you, better for you, if you didn't get remarried, because then you wouldn't be so anxious about your future spouse. And the more spouses you add, the less likely that those work. And so, again, you surround yourself with godly people. Be a part of a church. Find yourself a great pastor. Find yourself some great spiritual mentors and leaders who can walk alongside of you and pray for you. Talked to some great couples before who found themselves divorced, and they sought God, they fasted, they prayed, they sought counsel. Is remarriage for me? And God answered their prayers in various ways. Their concern wasn't whether or not they should get remarried. Their concern was, are we right with God? Are we in right standing with God? Are we in right relationship with God? Are we dry, dead bones, or are we alive again? And if God has another relationship for us, so be it, but we need the breath of God. That's what we need. This message was supposed to be about when you're widowed. 1 Corinthians 7 says over and over and over again, hey, you know, it's easier if you don't get married again. If you want to get married as a widow, so be it. And by the way, widows are people that the church needs to really pour their hearts out into. Widows, orphans, immigrants. Those are people that God has an intense heart for, shows up again and again and again and again through Scripture. So should I get remarried? What if my spouse is dead and I'm still alive? Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart in every relationship status that you have. Would you ask yourself this morning, what's something I need to repent of? What's something I need to repent of? Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So with whatever this is I'm dealing with, these bones I have, is there something I need to repent of? not before a priest or a pastor so that my sins may be forgiven, but I just need to acknowledge, walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, that I'm in the wrong. I need to repent of this or this or this or this. We all have something to repent of. What do you need to repent of? What do you need to make right? Where is reconciliation possible? Where is it? How do you make steps forward in your relationship, not just with people, but first and foremost with God? I like Casey playing behind me. He's not feeling really good today, but man, he sounds good. We're going to do something a little different. Can you call the worship team back up? Okay, prophesy to the worship team. Come forth. Come back on stage. So we sang, I hate to do this to you, but we sang the song, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs, right? Can we do it again in a minute? Okay. Kim rocked that song, by the way. Wow. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share a few more things. Kim's going to lead that song again. And if you're dead today, get to this altar and receive prayer. If you need restored today, come up, receive prayer. We're not here to do some weird religious duty. That'd be a waste of our time. This is not a club. If this is a club, it's an absolute waste of your time. We're not here to put on a show or a performance. That would be an utter waste of time. We're here to pursue God together. We're here as a church because we have a mission to connect people to an everlasting, committed relationship with Jesus. That's what you need. You don't need church. Church is a great bonus. You need a relationship with Jesus. Connect people to Jesus and others. That's kind of what church is. We have a vision as a church. We want to be a multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus. You might have a relationship with Jesus, but Jesus still has some healing to do inside of your heart, inside of mine. And we need to become passionate again, and we need to leave apathy to the side. Put your apathy to the side and focus in on your walk with Christ. So you find yourself, I'm apathetic, I'm dead, I'm drying up, I'm dry bones. Can we just believe in faith together that God can raise you up again? This message was supposed to be, and if you didn't pay attention, I fit it in. It was supposed to be about if you're separated. Man, if you're separated, you're valuable, you're wanted, you're needed, you're loved, you are worthy in God's sight. And the church wants to wrap its arms around. If you find yourself separated and you're like, what do I do next? Because this message is about that today, like, would you receive prayer too? God can do the impossible. God can do the absolute impossible. God can do the impossible. If you're divorced and if you're hurting, broken, walking with shame because you're ashamed of that status in your life, I want you to know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I want you to know that you are loved, you are needed, you are valuable, you are no less of a man or a woman if you have been divorced. Maybe you do need to repent. Maybe you need to reconcile. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. God's mercy and grace is big enough for all that, isn't it? For all of it. So if you're divorced, you're like, I don't know if I should seek remarriage. I kind of want to. Let's pray for you today. I'm feeling shame. Well, that's not of Christ. Let's pray. What's our next step? I don't know, but let's pray. Pastors, priests, counselors can't give you permission to divorce or remarry. But we can come alongside of you and support you if you're in that season. Only God can give the final say on your marriage. Only God can give the final say on your relationships. Let him do something. And so maybe the Spirit of God would say to you, oh, separated marriage, can your marriage live? And you might say, oh God, you know. Divorced marriage, can this marriage work? Can I ever have relationship again? Oh God, you know, because I don't. Person in the tragic case of losing your spouse and being widowed, oh God, will I ever be in companionship again with someone? Oh God, you know. And this is how we wrap up this series. It's 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says to Timothy, this is likely the second to last book of the Bible written, very likely that Paul is about to have his head chopped off, because that's what happened. And this is what he says to Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So we've spent 4 weeks looking at relationship statuses. What is the greatest advice, Pastor, that you could give for whatever status of relationship I am in relationship or not, in every status, in every stage, in every state, stay faithful. If you are single, be faithful. If you are dating, be faithful. If you are engaged, be faithful. If you are married, be faithful. If you are separated, be faithful. You're still married. If you're divorced, be faithful. If you're widowed, be faithful. In every state, God's call on each of your lives is not performance, but faithfulness. Hear that again. God's call on your life is not performance. It's faithfulness. He hasn't called you to perform. He hasn't called you to impress. He hasn't called you to seek a place for people to see you or know you were here. He just wants you to be faithful. And sometimes when your performance seems dead and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can perform anymore. I don't know if my work, my ministry, my preaching, my singing, my teaching is doing anything anymore. Am I actually being successful? And God's like, whoa, I just have called you to be faithful. So are you faithful to God in every status of your relationship with Him? Be faithful in every single state. God's calling us. Be faithful where you're at. Be content where you're at. Be patient where you're at. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be faithful and patient. Be patient and faithful. So I'm going to read a few of the passages from Ezekiel 37, and as we do, we're going to sing this song, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs, because this wasn't planned. This is the song that God put on Casey's heart to sing. This is the word God put on my heart to share with you today. Reluctantly, here I am doing it. And I want you to receive prayer, and do not leave this place if God's calling you to make a change in your life today. This church can't help or fix you, but the Spirit of God can. And we want to believe in great faith that He can do the impossible. Can they live? I don't know, but God does. And that's what we're going to seek. So listen to these passages again. This is what God told Ezekiel to say to the bones. And with faithfulness today, I declare this over your dry bones as well. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. I will cause flesh to come upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you shall live. And I love this most of all. Listen to what God says to us today. He says, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesied again. This is what he said when he saw the bones take shape of a body, but they were still lifeless. It says this, Come from the four winds, O breath. Remember, the breath is the Spirit of God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. How many of you feel slain today? Slain. Breathe on them that they may live. Final prophecy. I will open up your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. In this case, God wants to bring us into his kingdom. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from my graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Listen to this. He says, I have spoken and I will do it. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. If you'd open your heart to receive exactly what God has for you in this season, he has spoken, he will do it. Would you stand? We're going to sing. I'm going to pray over you. If you are an elder or an elder candidate here at Fellowship Church, if you could make your way up to the front, if you are an assistant pastor here, if you can make your way up to the front, we want to lay hands on you and pray for you today if you need prayer. If you don't know God, if you don't have relationship with Jesus, man, he wants relationship with you. He wants to breathe the breath of life into you. We were dead in our sins, but we are alive together in Christ. So call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. If you want to give your life to Jesus today as we're singing, if you just want to come up, we can lay hands on you, pray for you, and just rejoice in your faith in Christ. If you've got dry, dead bones of relationship, of separation, of divorce, of widowhood, of dating, of marriage, of singleness, and if you need a touch from God, we'd love to pray for you. Believe God for great things in your life. It might not have anything to do with any of this, but if you're just like, man, I'm broken. I'm suffering. Come and receive prayer. 1 Peter 5:10, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you into his eternal glory through Christ, will himself confirm, restore, strengthen, and establish us. So God, we thank you for this time. Lord, as we sing and celebrate and worship, I ask God that we would give you our all. Lord Jesus, for each person in need of ministry or prayer today, God, meet them exactly where they are at. Lord Jesus, I pray against condemnation and ask that you'd remove condemnation from every heart here in this place in the name of Jesus. I pray against shame that it would be removed in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, for an experience, God, of your mercy and of your grace that would lead to great faithfulness, would lead to great obedience, God, so that we can walk in your blessings. Thank you, God, that when we are down, when we have misbehaved, when we have needed discipline, that you don't beat us or prod us or scream at us, but instead it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. You lift up our heads and look into our eyes, and God, with great encouragement of hope, you give us love, kindness, grace, and mercy, which compels us, God, to obedience. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.